It's a Thanksgiving edition of The Next Step as we look at some false news and some real news, ones that touch us and ones that we don't want to touch us. This is Father Vasquez, and I'm connecting the dots between the emotional, the spiritual, the physical, just about everything else. This is episode number 442 of The Next Step, and we're asking you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Well, the Catholic Church has taken another step towards Armodoxy. Did you catch that? Absolutely, yes. Pope Francis at the United Nations made some very, very bold comments and statements, and we'll have a link on today's show notes. I mean, I am so impressed with all of the advancements, but here was an interesting one that's saying that nothing is beyond the reach of God's mercy. Specifically, he was addressing Catholics and the position of the Church regarding abortion. And he told Catholics that worldwide that he is allowing all priests to absolve the faithful of abortion, women and health workers alike, even while stressing that it is a grave sin in the eyes of the Church, and to end an innocent life, of course, is what abortion is. So he makes these claims, and yet he goes one step further and he says, nothing is beyond the reach of God's mercy. Talk about Armodoxy, huh? 101? Is that it? We've been talking about that. Have you been with me for the last 9 years? Anyway, fascinating stuff coming out of the Vatican, coming out of the Pope's visit here to the United Nations, and just some wonderful stuff, which needs a session in itself, 10, 20, 50 million sessions to talk about all the advancements. But I wanted to pick out that one little piece because, you know, when we talk about Armodoxy, we are really talking about an ancient religion that works today. Armodoxy is the oldest form of Christianity. And here we are, we're seeing that today in 2016, not only does it work, but slowly even mainstream churches, the big ones, are coming around to understanding that, you know, it's all about this very simple idea that God is beyond us. We cannot define God. If we do, we've failed. It's no longer God, right? But God has mercy. God has not only told us he's merciful, but he's expressed that through revelation, through Jesus Christ, and the mercy that he shows upon all of humanity. So there's a lot to talk about, and we've been talking about it for the last 9 years here on Armodoxy. And guess what? The Armenian Church has been talking about it for the last 2,000 years. So welcome to this day. Today happens to be Thanksgiving here in the United States. And no matter where you are in the world listening to us, of course, it is Thanksgiving, because every day should be a Thanksgiving for us. I've got a lot to share with you this week, including some Thanksgiving thoughts coming in at the end. We have Isabel Bayraktarian, who I had a wonderful chance to meet last Sunday at church at the St. Leon Cathedral. I want to share one of her songs. She was gracious enough to give me her latest CD, and that's coming up as the song of the day today. But I do want to kick off with some ideas of what is going on in this world. We're going to be talking about fake news in a little bit, but not about Facebook fake news, not about Trump and Hillary fake news, but about fake news religion, fake news Christianity. Yeah, is there such a thing? Well, guess what? Way before Facebook, there was some fake news. And that's coming up in our second portion of today's show. But let me kick it off by talking about some of the events that took place this week. First of all, a big triumph. Here's a triumph. My son, Sevan, he passed his bar. And of course, as a dad, we're very excited, happy, and can't be more proud. But I want to share with you some beyond the family pride. I want to share with you something very special that happened with him passing that bar. And, you know, here in the States, I don't know how it is in other parts of the world, but it is a big accomplishment. It is not only to go to law school, but then to also pass this strenuous, audacious, this horrible, shall we say it that way, test. Because we saw him study for it. We saw him go through it. It's a 3-day test that takes place. And it's quite difficult, to say the least. And he passed it. And I'm very, very proud. But one more event happened that I need to share with you as faithful Next Step listeners, because you do know the power of victory. You know the power of good over evil. And I just have to share this small little story that took place along with the bar, okay? A few months ago, about 6 months ago, my son graduated from law school. And at that time, at the ceremony, the law school ceremony, my cousin who would be, let's see, our dads would be first cousins. So what would that make us? Second cousins. Is that right? I don't know that genealogy. There's a second and there's a once removed and all that. So anyway, our dads are first cousins. And after the genocide, my grandmother came to America. His grandmother went to Armenia. And so these two sisters grew up and experienced life worlds apart, literally worlds apart, in different regimes, one here in America, one in the Soviet Union, and had their sons. Their sons never met. I had the opportunity of meeting these people because when I was a student in seminary back in 77, I went back there and had a chance to know them intimately as a family should be. But are my dad and his dad never met. And so here we go, generations later, right? At least a few generations later. Here we are at a graduation ceremony, the two of us watching our sons graduate law school. They graduate. So now last Friday when we got word that and it is such an interesting way the word comes in. But last Friday we got word that Sevan had passed the bar. And we were excited, of course, to say the least. Yes, popping champagne and celebrating. And the next morning my cousin calls me and I see his name on the caller ID. So I answer the phone and I say, you're going to tell me some good news, aren't you? And he says, yes, my son passed. And I said, well, so did mine. And there was a joy, you know, sincere joy in both of us, not only for ourselves, of course, but for each other. And we talked a little briefly. But it was after the phone call that I realized how wild this is. And this is what I wanted to share with you as Next Step listeners. The power of victory, the power of good over evil. I mean, what are the odds in an event, in a unique event called a genocide, 1915, circa 1915. What are the odds that two sisters are the victims of this horrendous act of genocide? And these two sisters are separated and go their own way. And years later, not years, a few generations later, not their grandchildren, but their great-grandchildren end up graduating in a place called Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America. And their great-grandchildren both receive confirmation from the bar that they are lawyers. But, you know, 100 years later, what are the odds that this would happen, you know? I mean, you could go to Las Vegas and they would give you some great, great odds on this, and you could probably make some big money on this. I mean, this isn't supposed to happen. And here it is, the victory. here it is, this thing that you cannot understand, that you can't comprehend beyond comprehension. Remember, we were talking about last week about the zillions of possibilities that there are. Literally, you use that word zillion because it's beyond your imagination or your comprehension of how many different possibilities. It's at that moment of genocide, of a family torn apart, a father killed, mother taking the children, passing over to a place called Greece, one getting married and going off to America, the other one getting married and in returning back to Armenia, and the thousands of millions and millions of different possibilities in between that alter people, that change our destiny and change where we're going, our direction. And then their children having children, and those children now, you know, you're just getting exponential at this point. Those children having children, namely me having that child, and so we're at this point of really, really wild odds. I hope you can imagine it. In my head, I'm imagining this huge flow chart, this giant flow chart coming down from a unique singular event as a genocide. Horrendous. And look at the victory at the end of it. 100 years later, you've got great-grandchildren of two sisters not only graduating, but shining by passing the bar first time around. Is that something that only a father should be proud of? I think that's something that we need to start talking about the power of victory, the power of resurrection, the power of goodness, and the triumph over evil. So had to share that with you, and I hope that the Next Step listeners understand where I'm coming from. Yeah, there is a proud dad talking in there, but there is also this idea of armadoxy, beyond understanding, beyond comprehension, but just the acceptance of the goodness, of triumph over evil. Anyway, last Friday, as I was getting this good news, I wasn't next to him when I found out, because, well, the computer tells you, the computer, it's on a website, and he was looking it up, and meanwhile, I had to get ready, and I was going to be speaking, had a speaking engagement talking about what's going on here in America, this evil and hate talk that's taking place in America, and I was invited to give a talk at Abril Bookstores in Glendale about our reaction to what's going on here in America, particularly as Armenians. Like, do we have a reaction? And certainly by virtue of our organization In His Shoes, it's about putting your feet in the shoes of others, understanding the pain of others, that Armenian expression of tsavatanim, let me understand your pain and take it, walking in the shoes of others. I was asked to speak on behalf of In His Shoes, to share some insight about what's going on and what should our reaction be. Because as people who have been discriminated against, as people who have seen difficulties and persecution, we need to be the first reactors, so to speak, to others that are being persecuted. And certainly here in America, the talk is divisive, is problematic. It is hateful in a sense that it's triggering all kinds of reaction. There is less tolerance towards people of different colors, different backgrounds. And this is something that we need to talk about regardless. I made a point, at least I did, that this isn't about a candidate, a particular candidate, because although Donald Trump, I really don't, I feel bad that he was elected. I probably would have felt equally bad as if Hillary was elected, because, you know, they were both people of just people that nobody could really embrace and say, yes, I want to vote for that person. Anyway, that's my personal feeling. But I wanted to make sure that I wasn't talking about candidates. I'm talking about the hateful speech, about capitalizing on that hatred, of putting people out there. When you say something like, you know, all Muslims will be prevented from coming into the United States, well, it's not just a barrier that you're putting on Muslims. It's actually against the Constitution, because all of a sudden you are discriminating based on no other factor except religion. And today, being Thanksgiving is an opportunity for us to really think about this. I mean, this is what America's all about. America was is here primarily because there was a group of people who wanted to get away from the monarchy, who felt like they wanted to explore their individual rights. It is an individualistic country. Yes, unfortunately, there's a bad side to that too, as we've talked about several times. As we talk about the importance of community, in fact, individual Christianity, in fact, is something that we've talked about that cannot exist. It is just against Christ's teaching. But here in America, the entire idea, the American dream, was to come here and have a place where you were not discriminated. And we've put a bunch of different factors on there. You're not discriminated against because of, and through the years, we've added on to this. It's not because of your gender, not because of the color of your skin, not because of your sexual orientation. I mean, this is one of the later additions. But this is a tradition that here in America, that this discrimination does not happen against who you are, but the kind of person you are, not your makeup. Martin Luther King said it beautifully. His dream was, right, that his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And I think we are at that point where this is the only way that people should be judged. And that judgment should come in the form of a court. In other words, the content of your character. Okay, you're a thief. Okay, there's a jail over there for you. You're doing these bad things. There's a punishment for you. That's the judgment, basically. But not because you believe in a certain religion. Not because you're a member of a particular religious order group. Right? That can't exist. You can't do that, not because you're the color of your skin. You can't be thrown into jail because the color of your skin is not the right color. You can't be thrown into jail because, or you can't be judged because of your sexual orientation, or let's even go one step further, because of your gender, right? Can't say all men are going to jail, all women are going to jail. That doesn't make sense. And we've added these other layers on there, okay? Now sexual orientation, sexual practices. And like it or not, these are the rules that a society, a group of people have decided that that's the way it's going to be. So that becomes the rule. That becomes the code. And so if you want to change it, you have to go through the procedures. And so we were out there in Glendale protesting about this negative talk, about this fear that's out there. And it was interesting because I spoke on Friday night. Saturday we were out on the streets and we were approached by a bunch of progressive Americans, Progressive Party. And it was interesting just to see the mix of people that were there, because I would have preferred if we could have just stuck to the principles. But whenever these kind of gatherings take place, it's always people who want to slap on names and want to categorize. And I understand that you have to. People have to find order out of the chaos. It can't just be a bunch of people out there on the street. No, here's a group of people. So all of a sudden, the Progressive Party, and my head went to the word in Armenian, Harach Timagan, progressive. And because the Progressive Party in Armenia, especially during the Soviet times, those Armenians that were living in the diaspora had these communist counterparts here in America, you know, in the communist parties. And, you know, here in America was another situation too, because we had the McCarthy era and this negativity. But, you know, in its purest form, when you think about communism, I mean, when you think about Marxism in its purest form, it's wonderful. There's opportunities for all kinds of people until you apply it. Applied communism was something that I saw, something that I witnessed, you know. And I remember coming back in, I was in the Soviet Union as a student back in the 70s. And I remember coming back because I had gone to college. I had learned Marxism in theory, right? And it sounds wonderful, you know, until you see it in practice. And that was really what the Soviet Union was. And I know there's a lot of people who will argue, no, that wasn't Marxism in its true form. But here's what Karl Marx said. He wanted to see his ideology. He wanted to see his philosophy in practice. And one can argue that maybe it did start on Marxist foundations, but this is how it evolved. And you can't discount the power of that evolution in any system. I mean, we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes when we talk about the false news, and especially in terms of Christianity. When you look at what we are as Christians today, it's not what Jesus taught. It's an evolution of what came out through the centuries after 2,000 years, what came out and what we are doing today. These understandings of Christ and Christianity. So that's where I was during the week and all kinds of stuff. We're going to be talking about fake news in a few minutes. But last Sunday, I had a beautiful chance after all of this to go to the St. Leon Cathedral, which is down the street from where my church was. I used to be the pastor at in Glendale for all these years until just a few months ago when I was moved over to do some work at the Western Diocese in outreach and youth ministries. And so this Sunday, last Sunday, was the first time that I had an opportunity to see His Eminence Archbishop Barkev Mardirossian and to participate in his liturgy. Because, well, I had a chance to be there. every year he comes out for the Armenian Telethon on Thanksgiving weekend. And every year on that weekend, well, on that Sunday, I have to do my liturgy in Glendale. So this time I had a Sunday off and I was able to go to the St. Leon Cathedral, where annually he makes this pilgrimage and he celebrates the liturgy. And then he goes on to the Armenian Telethon, where he's one of the main speakers and one of the main solicitors for funds for Artsakh. Archbishop Mardirossian, Archbishop Barkev, His Eminence, is the primate of the Artsakhian diocese. Artsakh, formerly known as Karabakh. Formerly, like just a couple weeks ago, right? They passed a rule, a law, legislation. I don't know what they passed, but they said that the official name of that region is no longer known as Nagorno-Karabakh. It will be known as Artsakh, the Armenian name for it. Nagorno-Karabakh, I think it means Black Mountains or something like that. It's a Russian name that was given to it during the Stalin era. I don't know the history, but right now it is called Artsakh. So Archbishop Mardirossian came from Artsakh. He's here every year for the telethon, but he gave such an inspiring sermon. The passage was appropriately, in the lectionary passage, was the story of the rich fool, and one of my favorites. And Archbishop Mardirossian gave such a beautiful accounting of the complaints of the rich fool, even though he had so much, and all of it being taken away. We celebrated that liturgy. We were truly, truly inspired. And afterwards, as during the reception, we met Isabel Bayraktarian, who happened to be there. She is teaching over at the University of California at Santa Barbara, originally from Canada. Our primate served as the diocesan primate in Canada, Archbishop Hovnan. So he made the introduction and we got a chance to meet her. What a wonderful lady. Actually even caught a couple pictures with her too. Unknowingly, I mean, all of a sudden we were in this crowd and somebody said, hey, let me take your picture. Okay. I said, okay, yeah, why not? Let's take some pictures. She shared with me her CD. She gave me her CD and I'm going to share with you one of the songs on it. Her husband Seroj has orchestrated the cello part for these Armenian hymns. And it's very special. You're going to hear it in just a minute. But the name of the CD, Mother of Light, think about it, right? Is that like Armadoxy? Like, are we talking about Armadoxy? Interchanging light for Christ, the Mother of Light. These are hymns offered to the Holy Mother, to Ostvatsadzin. This is Isabel Bayraktarian. Make sure you check out our show notes today. We'll have a link to her website. Very spiritual woman right now. You're listening from the new CD, Mother of Light, Isabel Bayraktarian. Isabel Bayraktarian, that is off of her latest CD called Mother of Light, a collection of hymns dedicated to the Asvat Zadzin. And I always tell you at the end of the song that we play every week, I say, encourage these artists that we feature over here. In this case, I'm going to say I highly recommend that you get the CD, one song after the other, just inspiring, motivational, meditative. I could go on and on. Do listen to it. There will be a link on today's show notes, not only to her, but I'll make sure that there's a link directly to this album as well. Isabel by Rakhdarian, the featured artist on today's Next Step. One of the big items that came out of the election season here in the United States was this issue of fake news. And you've probably heard about it. It's just all over the place. It's been all-consuming lately because there is usually fake news emerges when there's misunderstanding, when people don't want to take the time to learn a little bit. And unfortunately, there's just too much of it. You know, there's a story my dad used to tell, and today I'm consumed with my dad's memory because it happens to be Thanksgiving, very special day for me. Not only the thankfulness that we offer, but it is my dad's first memory that he has. He would always tell us that one of his first memories was the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade on Thanksgiving Day, obviously, in New York. He was a young boy and 5 years old, 6 years old, and he remembers sitting on top of his father's shoulder and looking out at the parade. Now, he had been separated from his father for about 5 years and reunited in New York City. So he was like 6 years old. And this is, again, because of the genocide, because of the immigration issues, because of the hardships. And this is what we sometimes forget, that it's not these immigration issues and these hardships and these discriminations are not something that just took place in 2016, but they're ongoing for as long as human history, right? So if you want to subscribe even to the story of Cain and Abel, I mean, look at the discrimination that God placed on one of them, right? He accepted one of their offerings and not the other. And come on. Now, I know you're going to try to argue that out. No, there was a discrimination. One was okay, one wasn't. And people have been discriminated and there has been misunderstanding. And so when we talk about armadoxy, when we talk about this idea of walking in the shoes of others, we're looking at some really root issues. And to me, the only way that we can get back together, that we can understand and live in harmony, and the only true reason for our existence is to facilitate that harmony, to find that peace, yes, here on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be here too, right? As it is in heaven. Let's make it work right here. Jesus Christ coming down from the bosom of the Father, we say, right? What was the first message? Peace on earth, goodwill towards humankind, one towards one another. So, okay, so, by the way, sideline, parentheses, we've been doing the evening services every night, 10 o'clock. It's been going fantastic. We've been running over to the St. Leon Cathedral, the St. Nishon Chapel, 10 o'clock. We're having quite a good gathering of people. Anyway, close the parentheses, because we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I wanted to share that because when we talk about peace on earth, goodwill towards humankind, it is basically we've been writing these services. I've been putting together these Vesper services. That's the intention, is to bring about peace, is to talk about peace, about to find that harmony, that how do we exist with one another here in this world? Yes, right here. So this story that my dad would tell would be about a small village in which there was a head priest, or the head of the village, an old elderly man who would advise the rest of the village, who would actually, people would seek his counsel. They'd go up to him and say, give us advice about XYZ problems, and what do you suggest? And he would always, very wise man, he would always quote Holy Scripture, and he would say, according to the Bible, it is... this is the answer to it. According to the Bible, Jesus says this. According to the Bible, we read that the laws direct us this way. And it was one young man who eventually got out of that village and sought his education. And during that education process, read the Bible, and he realized that, hey, all of those things that he said, the elderly man said, were not in the Bible. But the man said it with such authority that people believed it. Okay, authority. And we're seeing that again. We saw that come out this year in the election, because we have this new phenomena, this new authority, which we've been talking about. You know it, right? I mean, think about the last major election, Obama in 2008 here in the United States. Smartphones were just starting out. They weren't being used the way they are today. They weren't your main computer. Right now, our smartphones are a computer that we have in our pocket, a very powerful computer at that. And we are connected to the world and to information. And somehow we are feeling that it is our responsibility to transmit that information. If you are on any one of the major social networks, you know, whether you're on Instagram, you're a follower on Twitter, you're a friend on Facebook, you know that people are sharing information as if, you know, they are the holders of that information. They are the ones creating that information. Many of them do, just like we do here on The Next Step. For 9 years, we've been creating information. And because by virtue of where you're coming from and the medium that you're using, you have certain credibility, right? Newspapers used to have a lot of credibility until a lot of rag sheets came out, right? So you've got a lot of tabloids that come out. And so now we differentiate. We say that's a newspaper, that's a tabloid. The same way with podcasts. We've been doing podcasts for 9 years. Now, I mean, could you remember when we first started, people were saying, what is podcast? What is it? No, it's accepted. You buy your iPhone and you know that there's an app called Podcast. And you open it up and boom, there's a bunch of podcasts. And I hope you take the time to always search out The Next Step with Father Voskin and include that in your list. Because when you hit that podcast button, there we are. There I am, sitting in that chair. Got to change that graphic sometime. Anyway, I digress. So that smartphone has now become this computer in your pocket by which you get your information that you share with one another. And certainly a few years ago, we saw the power of that smartphone and social media in the Arab Spring, with the uprising of communities, of governments, in the rebellions, and definitely this year in 2016, with the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States, this entire thing came into question. Like, what is the news that's out there? And there were new places, new sites on the internet that were producing news, much like this elderly man in the village who was producing his own version of the news and, you know, with authority was going out. You know how easy it is today in this day and age to create a website. You know how easy it is in this day and age to act professional, you know, to look professional. And it doesn't matter what your background is. You can look better than who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It's what people think you are. That's the motto of today. It's basically an axiom, right? It doesn't matter who you are. It's who people think you are. And the same is true whether it's a person or whether it's an inanimate website. And actually, there's a little bit more credibility because it is formed. And you know what? Here's the thing. Think about these scams that are taking place. It's not about, yeah, there's a group of people that say, oh, well, you know, you gotta look through. But don't forget that there's a generation. I want to include myself in there too. There's a generation that's grown up with these computers and has grown up with this idea that anybody can create a website. And so there's really not a big deal about it. But there is quite a number of people to whom technology has come late, that will look at it and say that, oh, well, it's on my screen, therefore it should be real. Think about these scammers, you know. Have you gotten one of those calls? I have. You know, this is the IRS. And you owe $50,000. And what you need to do is, we're willing to take $3,000 in place of $50,000, go down to Target and buy some gift cards. Seriously. And, you know, the way they say it, the way they come off, I could imagine that there would be a certain group of the population that would go for it. And obviously there is, because otherwise they wouldn't be scamming people. You know, if you tried it a few times and it didn't work, you know, you'd give up on the scam. But these are multi-million, if not billion-dollar fraud operations, and they're based on this idea of false information. And so this year in the election, there were websites that came up giving false information. And even post-election, we just saw it a few weeks ago with after Trump was elected, and information, quote-unquote news, coming about his plans for the presidency. Now, let's switch gears. Let's bring it into the world of religion. Let's bring it up to us. Why am I talking about this over here? Well, think about it in terms of religion, right? Most people accept a religion because, not because they've done the hunting and the inspection for themselves, but because, well, you're born into it. And the more people that are into it, the more reason you have to follow it. You say, well, it can't be too bad. There's a billion people that are following my brand of religion. It can't be too bad because, you know, at least I'm inside this room with a few hundred people and everybody's there. And so we build these categories of credibility. And in a sense, it's very much like what we were saying a few minutes ago about the people too, right? It's not who you are. It's what people think you are. And it's not what the religion is, it's what people think the religion is. Very true, isn't it? Just like the candidate, it's not who he is, it's what people think he is, the perception of they have. They think that he's a presidential person. Doesn't matter who he is. He's been able to move himself into that category. It doesn't matter what the religion is, you've moved yourself into that category. And this is where our caution has to come in. And this is why I share with you this idea of armadoxy. It's the stripping away of all the hoopla. Now, what do you find when you strip away the hoopla? That we come down to a very basic common denominator, and that is the common denominator of love. This is what St. Narses Shnorhali teaches when he teaches about unity in essentials. And in his prolific poem, hymn, Aravot Duso, it comes down to this very basic, this very basic equation that I call it. The name of love is Jesus. In other words, Jesus is love. And if we understand Jesus as love, that's the bottom line. This is what you gotta test everything with. Okay, so somebody else has a different notion of Jesus, or somebody else comes up with a different theological perspective. Or let's push it. The cults, right? Or it's a different sect. And this is what we believe. And they get huge amounts of people following them, you know, a la Jehovah's Witness, a la the Mormons. And you say, wow, this is great and everything. Okay, here's the test. The test is, does it fall into the category of love? Is there exclusion? If there is exclusion, it can't work. Is there, and go back to what we were talking about at the very, very beginning of today's show, have rules and laws taken over the place of compassion and mercy? These are the questions you need to ask. And I bring this up because so much of what we believe is based on this false information that we get. And it's annoying to me a lot of times when I get thrown into a category, you know, oh, you're a Christian. Well, this is what you mean. Well, it's your perception of what Christianity should mean. It's like when people come up to me and say, well, you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And I always throw it back at them this beautiful say. I wish I remember who had said it. It's quite famous, but it's this question of, well, which God do you not believe in? You know, if you don't believe in a Superman God who comes out of the sky and stops war, well, guess what? I don't believe in that either. You want to talk about the human condition? Do you want to talk about compassion? Do you want to talk about being able to reach out to one another about love? Well, I could talk about a God in those terms. It is a God that Christ talked about. And this is why, as children of Christ, as Christians, it is the only narrative, it is the only information that I can pass along too. So what I share with you today is, look at the world. When we're looking at this situation of false news, it should really tell us too, within the religious community, and especially Next Steppers, especially in our quest to find Armadoxy, that really that filter by which you're going to filter out all of the nonsense has to be that ultimate filter of love. Because that's what Christianity is. It's the language and the religion of love. Everyone will tell you, love your neighbor as yourself. That's beautiful. Love your friends. The Christian message is one on top of that. It trumps it. True lack of a better expression, it trumps it, okay? And no innuendo there. The Christian message is love your enemies. You have hurt. Love your friends. Love your neighbors. Hate your enemies. I tell you, says Jesus, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, when we talk about Christianity, it's interesting when you listen to so many people talk about their brand of Christianity. This is the one area where everybody backs off of. It's so difficult. But it is really the ultimate filter that you need to use. If a religion is preaching division, is preaching hatred, is preaching from you to separate from the rest of humanity because you happen to know the truth and everyone else is stupid, you got to really question. Beyond question, you got to say, hold it right there. You got to say, stop. This is false information. This is not what Christianity is about. Certainly not a religion that I could adopt. And so when I heard about this false news, the one that I think was so prevalent on Facebook, or at least made famous by Facebook, right? When I heard about this, I said that, you know what? It's no different than what we've been fed for too long. And the sifting through, that editorial process belongs to us. And the editorial process, just like an editor will look at news and decide and deem what is to be read and what shouldn't be read and uses certain tools, we too have that tool. And that tool is the tool of love, common sense love. Is this a faith of love and therefore action, or is it exclusionary? Does it build up more walls than it tears down? Does it not bring harmony? Does it bring more chaos than order, right? It's that simple. And, you know, that's the bottom line. And you check it out. And you have the tool to check it out with. You have the tool of love. And that's basically like your measuring stick. There's love. Are you in the camp of love or outside of the camp of love? Because you know, it goes back to that first thing we were talking about again. It's about compassion. And don't ever forget that Jesus, throughout his ministry, he forgave everybody. It was all about compassion. It was all about mercy. The one person that he couldn't tolerate, let's say, was the person who was the hypocrite, the one who said something and did something else, and didn't allow for growth, didn't allow for failure, didn't allow for mistakes, didn't allow for sin. The one who said that everyone is sinful except me, instead of saying, I too am a sinner. Look at it's in Scripture. And that's the beauty of Christianity, that it's about the imperfection of humankind rising to the perfection of all eternity of God. That's the message for today. It happens to be Thanksgiving today, and I want to share with you one final thought on Thanksgiving. We'll do that after Susie makes this announcement.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you. Today is an opportunity to say thank you. Happens to be Thanksgiving here in the United States, and no matter where you are, I want to share my thankfulness to all of you for being a participant in this ministry, for your kind words, for all of the prayers that you share with us. Thanksgiving is an opportunity for us to give thanks to God, and I want you to take a moment today. If you're listening to this podcast, you have so much to be thankful for. Not because you get to hear my voice. No. Stop that. But because if you are listening to this podcast, it means that you are basically doing okay. You have the means. You have the ability to listen via the internet. You have technology at your hand. And you're basically okay. And it's so easy to complain about the things that we don't have. And often we forget to be thankful for the things that we do have. Can you breathe? Can you take in a breath? Hey, that's better than, you know, most of humanity that has passed, right? Because they're gone. They can't breathe. Okay, so you have this opportunity to breathe. Now start building on that. Do you have the opportunity to love? Do you have the opportunity to share? And now that you can share, please do. Today, Thanksgiving happens to be also the Armenian Telethon for Artsakh, a very important and strategic place in the world. It is a small little area right next to Armenia that was attacked back in April. And so there was an Armenian Telethon, and I will have a link on today's show notes. Do participate in that. Do share your wealth. Not only with us here, but with all the different organizations and opportunities. I happen to mention the Armenia Fund because it is priority on our minds as we look at the films and especially the coverage that's coming out on this Thanksgiving Day. They have a beautiful telethon and an opportunity to see different films and videos that come out of those lands that they help. So please look at the link. If you happen to get this podcast in time, at least here on the West Coast, it is until 10 p.m. our time that the telethon goes on. But it goes on the internet, and there's so many different places that you could connect with them. So be generous. The first pilgrims came to America, and they had a very, very difficult time. In fact, half of their population was lost during that first winter. Instead of cursing God, they took a moment to kneel down and thank God for the blessings that they do have. It's seeing the glass half full rather than half empty. It's thanking God for the very special blessings of family, of health, of love that you have in your heart. Take advantage. Make today a Thanksgiving. And once you do that, make a resolve to make every day a Thanksgiving, beginning your day off with prayers of Thanksgiving and ending them with prayers of Thanksgiving. We've been doing that, exactly that. And I'm so excited. We are now on the fourth day of these Vesper services we hold at the St. Leon Cathedral, at the St. Nishan Chapel inside that cathedral. We are doing Vesper services at 10 at night, ending the day with Vespers. And if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, actually yesterday we had a guest came in from Fresno, had come down for the Thanksgiving. He says, are you having the services? Yes, we are. Did you think we were making it up? No, we're having it. No, I'm not just making it up. Who would be out there in the cold St. Leon Cathedral but us? And we're there. So anyway, it's been going well, and I appreciate all of your prayers and support for all of the aspects of our ministry. I'm going to call it a day today, wishing you all the best. Happy Thanksgiving, and wishing much success to the Armenia Fund, and wishing God's blessings upon all of you. On behalf of the crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, in a thankful spirit, saying happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We look forward to being with you again next week, when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off balance. Top minutes.